heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
De'Aaron Fox has it, and that is it. The ball game is over, and the Kings, for the fifth time in the last six meetings against the Mavericks, have beaten Dallas. The final is 93-88. So a comeback after a giveaway by Sacramento in an amazing fourth quarter that saw the Kings give up an 11-point lead. They were up at 71-60, gave up 12 straight points, then came back, and they end up getting the victory 93-88.
Oh, yes, you heard a highlight there of a Sacramento Kings victory. The first of the year, that came on Friday night. Welcome into Locked On Kings, as the Kings were able to defeat Dallas over the weekend, but lost to Denver on the second night of a back-to-back. That was ugly on Saturday, and now the Kings get ready to take on the Phoenix Suns, who are going through an ugly scenario themselves. All those things we will discuss today's episode of Locked On Kings. Thank you for finding us as we start a new week here on the Locked On Network. Check out everybody, especially after a football weekend, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Niners. We encourage you to just listen to everybody. Get as many opportunities to find out all the different things that are going on across the Locked On Network. But today, we are back and we're talking about your Sacramento Kings. So again, we heard the highlight of the win on Friday. We'll kind of go in order here because, well, the news obviously of the day today is the Sacramento Kings getting ready to take on the Phoenix Suns. Final game of a three-game road trip before they come home for DeMarcus Cousins on Thursday in the New Orleans Pelicans. And then next Sunday, the Sacramento Kings will take on the Washington Wizards. So that's the week ahead for the Kings. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the game on Saturday because that was ugly. And if you think about that game, it was just a struggle all night long. It's a tough place for a back-to-back. It was the opening night, a home opener for Denver. Paul Millsap's first game at home. None of those are excuses, but just the Kings, they had just a tough time scoring all night long. Shot 37% in that game, only scored 79, but struggled to get there. Denver had 96. 58 rebounds to 39. The Kings were crushed on the boards. Only 13 free throw attempts. That continues to be an early season trouble spot for the Kings. On the scoring side of things, only three players in double figures. De'Aaron Fox had 18. Scal had 13. Zebo had 11. Good to have Zach Randolph back, who played well in his debut in Dallas. And it looks like Bogdanović may be back for the game against the Phoenix Suns. So Denver game, we're just done with it. Not a lot to take away from that. More bad than good. I want to go back to Friday night, though, the first win of the season. Thought the Kings played well against Houston in the opener, then had to go to Dallas, a team that I'm personally not that high on. They had a few things going against them that day, and I was bummed that Dennis Smith Jr. did not play. I was really looking forward to that matchup with him and De'Aaron Fox, but he was out. And the Kings took advantage of that. And let's listen back to the closing moments. Some big plays in the game for the Kings in the finish.
5:18 and counting as Fox drives, plants, feeds a pass to Costa. Got a layup on the low right side. That's the 10th assist tonight for the rookie De'Aaron Fox. And for Costa Koufos, it's his first 2 points. And the Kings lead at 80-77. Willie Cauley-Stein back in, trip momentarily. Here's Hill for three. He's fouled and he hits the triple. A four-point opportunity for George Hill with a minute 25 to go. The lead is 5 at 88-83. Well, he lulled everybody, including yours truly, into a false sense of what was going on when suddenly he just decided to launch. The defender, Barnes, was late getting there and made contact, and so an and one and a chance for a four-point play for George Hill. Step back, Zebo comes up short. Rebound, Buddy Hield, of all people, out to Randolph. Gives it out to Temple. Temple back out now to George Hill. 25 seconds to go. Difference between the two clocks is roughly 9 seconds. Here's Hill to the right. Frees up at the elbow. 16-footer. He's got the bucket. How big is that with 16 seconds to go? George Hill delivers for Sacramento. He's got 21. Timeout taken by the Mavericks. 16 and a half seconds remain. It's now 91-86. 91-88. Now the Kings have got to protect against pressure in the backcourt. Inbounds to Hill. Gives it up to Garrett Temple. Eludes Dirk Nowitzki. Into the front court. A wide open Willie Cauley-Stein. He's got the layup at the rim with 6.5 seconds to go. The Kings beat the pressure and got the uncontested layup from Willie Cauley-Stein.
So the Kings ended up with a win on Friday, 93-88 over Dallas. As I mentioned earlier, Zach Randolph had his first game. He went for 13 points and 6 rebounds. Willie had another double-double. I love the double-digit rebounds for Willie. 10 points and 11 rebounds. George Hill in the highlights, he was just so clutch down the stretch. Just his veteran presence is going to be good for this team on the floor. Had 21 points, a lot of big shots. Buddy Hield had that huge offensive rebound, also added 13 points in the game. And then De'Aaron Fox continues to impress. 9 points, 6 rebounds, but 10 assists. That's one of the things I wondered about De'Aaron coming in. I see way more positives than red flags or question marks. But I want to know going forward, can he be a guy that can run a team? Can he be a point guard that finds other people? Well, that game, he certainly showed it with 10 assists. So I liked a lot of the things that we saw in the game on Friday night in the win over Dallas. So a couple of early season observations, as you said, and we'll probably do this more so in 5-game chunks after 5 games and 10. But they've only played 3. But again, I was concerned about free throws. This team getting many free throws, they're not so far. That's a huge difference between them and when DeMarcus was around. Rebounding is a coach concern, and they did well against Dallas in the rebounds. They did terribly against Denver. And also, I'm trying to figure out, we know scoring might be an issue on night, so I don't know if they're just mucking up these games and making them ugly, but their point total is low, but also the defense, they're not allowing a lot of points. They barely allowed over 100 to Houston, who's a great offense, held Dallas to 88, and Denver, even in their easy win, scored 96. So those are encouraging point totals allowed. It's just the points that they're scoring, certainly not enough. And, just little additions here and there. Bogdanovich could help. Maybe a few more minutes for some of the younger guys that are being productive could be a way to go. But still very early in the season, still a lot to learn about this team. And so far, so good to me at 1-2. If they could beat Phoenix, and that's a big if they're coming home 2-2 through 4, I think that's encouraging. I of all road trips, though, in the West, this is not that difficult, in my opinion, playing at Dallas, at Denver back-to-back is tough, and then Phoenix. But those are three teams that may not make the playoffs. I don't think two will for sure, but Denver might. But it's not an OKC, San Antonio, Houston road trip. So hopefully there'll be a second win for the Kings when they take on Phoenix on Monday. Now, speaking of Phoenix, wow, they've got some things going on, and they've got them going on in the wrong way. They had, of course, the worst loss in opening night loss at home in NBA history to start their season when they were blown out by Portland. At one point, they were down by 56 points, 58 points, something like that, but had the worst home opening loss in NBA history. Also, Portland is a good team, but Portland didn't even play with CJ McCollum that night. He was serving a 1-game suspension. They played competitively in their second game, their third game against the Clippers. They were bad. And then there's tweets going on from Eric Bledsoe basically saying he wants out. He's not happy. And then, boom, they have fired their head coach, Earl Watson, which to me, I know the team's not playing well. I don't know what's going on internally, but you played 3 games and you fire the coach. That seemed very odd to me. And I think the timing isn't necessarily good for the Sacramento Kings. It could be. It could be where Phoenix is still in disarray. But sometimes when you make a big move like that, a team gets inspired right away. Only time will tell. We'll find out if the Suns are an inspired group or still a group in disarray. But I don't see it as a highly talented group, certainly. And they got to figure out the Bledsoe situation. And let's talk a little bit more about that, though, with someone who will know much more than I can even speculate on. And that is Tim Kempton. Of course, he's a former NBA player. We've had Tim on this podcast before, and he's currently the Suns radio analyst, so it's going to give us great perspective to talk to Tim. And Tim, I want to start with the news about Earl Watson. I was just mentioning that. 3 games is a very short amount, so I guess were you surprised and were the people of Phoenix surprised about the decision to let go of Earl Watson?
I don't think it surprised everybody, especially the way the Suns played from the beginning. Everything that was talked about this summer leading up to this season was competitiveness and progress, how the new guys were coming along, how the young talent was being developed. And out of the box, giving up 2 of the worst losses in franchise history in the same week, one on opening night, and then over in L.A. against the Clippers, 2 games later, I think that was, you know, that hit the nail on the head of not being very competitive right out of the box after you had 6 months to look at it, make some changes in the offseason. And then the development of the young guys, there's still some questions there where the progress is coming.
Yeah, so now the situation is still the young roster. It's still young guys they're trying to build around. So whether it's Jay Triano or someone else that officially gets put in there, how difficult will the actual job be of building up the Suns?
Well, you know, you can look at it and look at it like a gold mine, a diamond in the rough, and let's get to work in developing these guys. Obviously, it's going to be an interim basis right now. And, you know, if you want the job, go after it, whoever that happens to be, in showing that competitiveness. I think they have to change their defense a little bit. Obviously, we're giving up way, way too many points. I think we're right about averaging over the first three games, giving up close to 130 points a game. So obviously, defensively, you can come in and make some changes there. And offensively, we need to move the ball a little bit more. We have some young talent, but I think in their youngness, they're trying to do too much individually. We need to get to playing team basketball, have the ball flying around, bodies moving without the ball, so the defense can't just focus in on you when you have the ball.
So, Tim, before I get to some of those young guys you're referring to, how are the veterans, whether they've been around a long time like Chandler or a guy who's been around enough time, Bledsoe, how are they coping with all this?
Well, that's a great question. You, in regards to Bledsoe, you probably say not too well, because
right.
I don't know if you saw the tweet over the weekend as well that said, "I don't want to be here." So that's Eric Bledsoe coming out in a very strong statement. Tyson Chandler, on the other hand, you know, they asked him last year, you know, if he wanted to be traded, if he wanted to be moved, and he said no, he wanted to stay here. So both those guys are a little bit of a question. Bledsoe, a little bit stronger statement with his tweet over the weekend.
Yeah, do you think they'll – I mean, you don't have to listen to a player to grant him that, but if he's frustrated – I mean, that's a tricky one too, Tim. You know, you played in the league that you want guys to be – even if they're not winning, to be working for a same goal, but if they want out, that's difficult. How do you think they'll handle that with Bledsoe?
Yeah, obviously there was talks that he was going to be traded this summer. There was a lot of – you know, Kyrie Irving in Cleveland was a big story because of his Eric Bledsoe's relationship with LeBron James. But now, again, it's one of those situations where you put the team behind the eight ball. You're frustrated. Your play hasn't been very good. And teams may look at you now in a different light. First of all, if they are going to try and trade for you, they're going to try to look and get a deal for themselves because they know it's a bad situation right now. And unfortunately for Eric, he hasn't played that well in the preseason and leading up to that. So I think he needs to look in the mirror first and just be a professional. Hey, it's a lousy situation. I agree, Eric. You know, they've talked about trading you. You know, Philadelphia has the process. Phoenix, we call it the timeline here right now. And there's been talk that Eric Bledsoe doesn't fit in that timeline. Be a professional. Come out. Work your hardest. Play as well as you can, and then you'll have more suitors to be traded to.
So you mentioned the timeline then, and that's part of what your process is, I guess, with Phoenix. So I see Bender, I see Chris, I see Jackson, Booker. What do you think will be the core pieces of that timeline?
Well, hopefully all four of those guys are. Obviously, Booker is the most advanced, proven that he can play at a very high level in this league scoring-wise. Josh Jackson, what we've seen of him in the starting lineup since day one under Earl Watson. We'll see if that changes with the new head coaching position, but does a lot of good things. Plays with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, plays hard, rebounds well from his position. He's got a quirky shot, but shoots it very well from the perimeter. Marquise Chris has to be a rebounder. He's got to be a big man in this game. And right now he's a little bit in no man's land. Dragan Bender still, you know, I think we may give him a little bit more time because of the injury last year, but those are the guys that we have to see progress in this year going forward to stick to that timeline with these young draft picks.
So I want to ask you about the Kings, too, as you get ready to take on Sacramento. We need a clever name if it's the process and the timeline. Sacramento's kind of going through the same thing. What's your observation of them? I mean, they made the big move to move on from DeMarcus, and now they're filled with young players. What do you think about the Kings as you head in to see them for the first time?
To be honest with you, I really like what the Kings have done. I like, you know, their athleticism. Obviously, you like the pieces, but now you want to see them come together so quickly. And it is, you know, you have talent, but it does take time and experience in this league to get better. And that's what's become so hard in this league, is having that patience to do it. When you see other franchises that never miss a beat, the San Antonio is just restocking and Cleveland finding a way to win. And now Golden State, you know, just adding pieces to their core players, but it takes time. But I do like the talent in Sacramento. I thought it was time to get off DeMarcus Cousins, because he's the elephant in the room. He's so talented, but he just drains the energy from all those players, other players around him, in developing them and having them to be part of something going forward.
Yeah, I think that's very, very accurate what's going on here too, Tim. So we look forward to the first matchup of four this year. I know it'll hopefully settle down for you guys and hopefully for the Kings as well. Tim, thank you for the time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, hashtag drama tomorrow night at that game.
Well, that is Tim Kempton there. And, you know, like you said, they call it the timeline. We'll have to figure out a cute name for the Sacramento Kings. The process, the timeline. And Phoenix, I don't know. I just don't know what to expect from them. I know Coach Jaeger will say, forget about Phoenix. It's all about us, meaning the Sacramento Kings, what they do. And I just want to see them have a smoother offensive night, continue their strong defense, try to rebound. Scal's had his best game ever against Phoenix. I think De'Aaron Fox will be able to do some of the things he wants. And I'm sure Phoenix has been embarrassed. They've got a coaching change already just three games into the season, but it is a roster filled with a lot of young players. And, you know, the other thing to watch, I don't know if it'll be a factor, if it'll even happen, but whether it was last year in the regular season or in summer league, if Papa Giannis gets in, him and Chris, they've got something. Marquise Chris, they've had their battles in summer league. They kind of went at each other, and certainly Papa Giannis, Big Papa, got into it last year in the regular season. That was the only Kings technical, I believe, since they traded DeMarcus. They might have had one other, but that was the first one. It came late in the season. I think it was in the home finale against Phoenix, and Papa Giannis and Marquise Chris kind of went after each other, and then it continued in summer league when I was in Vegas, saw that one firsthand. So we'll see how the young guys play from both sides, but between Bender, Chris, Booker, and Jackson, some of the young pieces of Phoenix, and then what the young guys offer, and if Bogdanovich will play, that'll be fun to see for the Sacramento Kings. So again, my thanks to Tim Kempton. My thanks to all of you for listening. Again, tell a friend. Let them know we are here each and every day, Monday through Friday, on Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, and of course, subscribe to iTunes. Leave us ratings and reviews, comments there if you would. And as I always mention, I appreciate feedback. Send me comments, things you'd like to hear differently, or things you like, don't like, whatever. Let me know, jason.ross@cbsradio.com. Thank you so much for listening. Back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye, singing dog. Bye, goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye, wedding ceremony.
Stop! At Metro PCS, you get two free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get two free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch two lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.